97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, a midseason report card for the UNC football team. Our guest, Jones Angel, voice of the Tar Heels and a UNC alum. So Jones, halfway through the season, the Heels are 3-3. You look back at the results of the games and you could see a way pretty easily that the Heels could be 5-1. You also see a way pretty easily that they could be 1-5. So 3-3 seems pretty okay right at the moment.
It has been that kind of season so far for the Tar Heels, to be sure, Dr. Tuggle. Appreciate you having me on. Always enjoy chatting with you. And, you know, it has been that kind of year where I think this is a younger Carolina football team. It's a team obviously in transition with the new coaching staff, with a new head coach. And I think it's a team that needed some confidence and that has needed to learn how to win a little bit. And remember, this is a group that won just 5 total games over the last 2 seasons. And so it wasn't a team that came in with a ton of confidence. It wasn't a team that was used to having success week in and week out. It wasn't a team that knew how to do the type of things that allow you to be consistently successful in a sport that I think is difficult to do that in football because of the physicality, because of the nature of the game. And so, yes, gosh, 3-3. I think Carolina, if you'd have told Mack Brown at the beginning of the season that during the open date, halfway through the season, your team would be 3-3, I think he would have taken that. I'm not sure he would have guessed it would have been the 3 wins or the 3 teams in the win column and the 3 teams in the loss column. But it's a team that's growing. It's a team that's fun to watch. And I think it's a team that's starting to figure it out a little bit as well.
Let's go ahead and I do want to jump back into the growth of the team, but let's make a quick foray into prognostications. I was actually a bit surprised to see that the NNO projected that UNC could potentially win the Coastal Division. That was surprising to me. And that, you know, maybe a more realistic is 7-5, but I think any Tar Heel fan would take that.
You know, I think a couple things. Number one, the Coastal Division has proven to be probably the most volatile division in college athletics. It just year to year, it seems that a different team wins this division. You just have not had one team consistently grab a hold of this, like, for example, Clemson has in the Atlantic Division of the ACC. And so sitting here right now, Carolina's 2-1 in conference play and very much in the mix for the ACC's Coastal Division. And these next couple of weeks for them are going to be critical in that regard. They go to Blacksburg to see Virginia Tech, another Coastal Division team, and then 2 enormous home games after that against 2 teams that I think are very heavily in the conversation as well for the Coastal title, with Duke and Virginia coming to Chapel Hill in back-to-back weeks. In fact, Virginia was the preseason favorite in this division. And so it is a wide-open division, and right now Carolina is squarely in the middle of that. And then to your point about a 7-5 record, I doing a lot of preseason conversations with folks this year, Dr. T, that they asked me what would be a successful season, in my opinion, for Carolina. And I think my answer always was for the Tar Heels to get to a bowl game, to be involved in postseason play again after 2 years being removed from that, and to have success against their in-state opponents. Now, they've stumped their toes against in-state opponents so far this year, but they still have 2 very important ones coming up against Duke and NC State. And I think if you can win those games and if you can get yourself to a bowl game, that would be a big step forward for the Tar Heels this year.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the schedule so far. Wake Forest is a solid team.
Yeah.
And you play Wake Forest at home. Clemson is, you know, one of the best teams in the country, and you play them to 1 point. That has to be, you know, confidence building for this team.
I think particularly the Clemson game was. And I think the Tar Heels were so excited with how they played, how they prepared, the effort they gave in those first 2 games of the season in wins against South Carolina and against Miami. Then when you paper, Wake Forest and Appalachian State, the next two opponents, don't get your heart pumping quite as fast as South Carolina and Miami do. And I don't think the Tar Heels came with the same level of energy. And by that, I in no way mean that they didn't try hard, they didn't play hard. But I don't think that that level of consistency was there in those 2 weeks. And that's something Mac Brown has talked about a whole lot this season, is preparing to your level of standard that you know you need to prepare and play to be successful. That it shouldn't matter if you're playing the number one team in the country or an 0-in-a-million team, that you should prepare to the same standard that you know gets you ready to play. And I think that was something he really hammered home between Clemson and Georgia Tech in particular. So you had that great game against Clemson where you took the number one team in the country down the wire. So you know what level you need to prepare, that you need to execute to, how much film you need to watch. You know where that level is. So now can you do that again in the very next week against Georgia Tech, where there wasn't going to be as much attention, where you were expected to win that game? And he felt like the Tar Heels maybe didn't do it quite as well as he wanted, but got there pretty close. And so I thought that was a nice step forward. And they built off that confidence that we're talking about in that really close performance against Clemson. So you're starting to see those signs week in and week out that this is a team that's getting a little better in that regard. And I think taking that step from Clemson to Georgia Tech was a really big step for them.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Jones Angel, the voice of the Tar Heels, about where the Carolina football team stands right now. Jones, one more quick question about Clemson. So close. So close. On social media, I think, based on what I saw, I think most people supported the idea of going for two, but didn't necessarily support that play call.
Yeah, you know, and it's something that was talked a lot about the week after that, as you would expect, and I'll try to be fast with this answer. You know, Coach Brown was asked a bunch about that decision, and I think it was a twofold reasoning to go for it, number one. And that is, Mac Brown is at a point in his career where he doesn't care anymore what anybody's going to say after the game. He's just going to do what he wants to do best for his team at that moment, because he's not trying to get another job. He's not particularly worried about getting fired, and he doesn't worry if somebody says, oh, well, I'm not sure Coach Brown should have done that. He is secure enough in his position in life and in his profession that that doesn't matter to him anymore. All coaches are going to say that stuff doesn't matter, and I think they believe that, but I also believe there's just that little bit of something that pecks at you during the game that a younger coach maybe kicks the extra point because it's the safer play right there. But Mac Brown said he wanted to show his team that he was going to be aggressive, that he's asked them to be aggressive, and he's with them and believes in them. So I think those two things, kind of his place in his career and then that desire to show the aggressiveness, was the combination for the call. Then the play itself, you go into a game with about three or four, maybe five different options in that down and distance scenario. So if you are within the 5-yard line, let's say, and it's a goal to go situation like a 2-point conversion is, because obviously it's just a one play scenario. So you have a 3, 4, 5 play Rolodex for that particular game, and it changes game to game, but that's what you take into the week. And so Phil Longo, the Carolina's offensive coordinator, really discussed his quick thought process, because remember, all this has to happen in about 15 seconds, of why he chose that play. And he kind of went down the Rolodex and said, well, we had already run this play once. Clemson had seen us be successful with this play. We'd run that a lot of times this year, so didn't want to do that. And so he decided on that triple option attack. I think what they liked the most about it is it gave you multiple options on the play to allow a defense to make a mistake. And to Clemson's credit, it just didn't. They defended the play as well as you could do, and unfortunately for the Tar Heels, it didn't quite work out.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning and build back up to where we are prognosticating what's going to happen. Mac is back. I think fans are excited about that. You can sense it in the stands. You can feel it. It's palpable. I have to make an admission here. When UNC first hired back, I'm thinking, well, good coach, had great success here, won a national championship, but how well are these young guys going to relate to a guy in his mid to late 60s? And then I'm thinking, well, Roy doesn't seem to have much of a problem with relating, and I think Mac has proved that he doesn't either.
I think when you hire a coach, so much of it is about fit. Fit with your program, fit with your town, fit with your university, fit with the moment that you're in. And I thought Mac Brown just fits at Carolina for whatever reason. We saw it in the 90s, and I think we're seeing it again now, that he just fits here. He understands some of the challenges that you have at Carolina that maybe you don't have at some other universities. He understands the unique nature of Chapel Hill as a college town. And he understands how to be successful. And I think what Carolina needed the absolute most at the moment they were hiring a new coach was somebody that could lead a group of young people in a very clear vision of, say, hey, here's where we want to go. And here's how you individually can be a part of the collective to help us get there. And I think Mac Brown is as good as anybody in doing that. Not to mention, he is wonderful in rallying the fan base. He is wonderful in rallying the students. He is wonderful in rebuilding some of those relationships in the high schools across North Carolina to improve recruiting, which the Tar Heels needed to do. He fit in every aspect of that job. And it didn't matter if he was 28, 68, 108, he fit all of those pieces that Carolina needed at that time. And I think we've seen that so far in these first 10 months or so where Coach Brown has been the coach, that fit is paying off.
All right, let's talk about one player who's gotten a significant amount of praise on the national level from national color commentators and play-by-play folks, and that's Sam Howell, the only true freshman who's had any significant number of snaps. Several true freshmen have played a bit here, a bit there, but Howell, he's emerged as a star on this team.
I think the neat part about Sam is he has the talent. He has the arm talent. He can run well enough to still be an option in that part of the game. But what has really separated Sam Howell and what separated him in the quarterback competition during the offseason is his work ethic. And that's not to suggest that the other guys didn't work hard. It's just Sam is a different level of preparation. He really loves playing the position. He loves the game. And I think he's really put in the extra time to be as good as he possibly can be. And he arrived in January, graduated a semester early from high school. So he went through spring practice with the Tar Heels. He started going to class, got used to that college aspect of being a student in a totally different place. And he put in the time. He put in the time with his teammates in the summer. He put in the time in the weight room. He put in the time in the meeting room. I think he really gained the respect of some of the older guys on the team with that work ethic. And he's really, I think you're starting to see that pay off. It was interesting at the beginning of the year, he was a hot topic of conversation, as you would expect. And so I always said, all the context clues tell you he's going to be really good, but you just don't know. You just don't know until you see it. But now we've seen it, and he is very comfortable on the field. And Dr. Tuggle, he has that something extra that's hard to define, where he has proven week in and week out that if he has the ball in his hands and it's late in the game and you need something to happen, he can make it happen. And not all guys can do that, but Sam Howell can.
Sports Focus will return right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking, we're doing a midseason report card, and we'll get to some grading here in just a second. We're talking with Jones Angel, the voice of the Heels. One more quick question, Jones, about Sam Howell. And I'm going to relate this to training someone to be a television anchor, because that's what I do. When you get someone to the point that it seems or it feels or it is natural, I think that's the difference. With Sam Howell, it just seems natural.
Very much so. And I think, and this is very applicable to what you're talking about, I think it's all that preparation away from the game that allows you to be natural during the game. Because at some point, all that work that you've put in away from the game day or all the practices you put in before you are sitting there with the red light on and the camera and you're sitting at the anchor desk, whatever it might be, all that work you can naturally fall into and you don't have to think about it in the moment. And that's when I think you've really become that's when you really allow your natural talents to shine through. And that's what I was talking about in that last answer before the break is, you know, Sam has the natural talents. And so he's put all that work in now, and he still has plenty of room to grow. I mean, he's still a true freshman, but he's put in all this work that allows him to fall back on that preparation, allow him to fall back on that practice. So he doesn't have to think as much when things are going quickly around him. And so that's when his natural talent can shine through. And I think we've really seen that here through the first half of this season.
Okay, Jones, we have about 4 minutes and we have several groups we want to grade. So
okay.
Sam Howell, quarterback.
I think when you consider that he is a true freshman, it's hard not to give him an A+. I mean, just what he's been able to do has really been impressive, and I've enjoyed watching him play so far.
Running backs.
I think it's Carolina's strongest position. I'll give it an A- just because I think there have been a couple of times that the Heels would have loved to use them a little bit more, but the game didn't allow them to do so. Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, though, as good a duo as anybody in the ACC has.
Receivers.
Ooh, I like this young group. I'm going to give them a B+ because they're a group that's still growing. It's very young. There have been a couple of drops, but there have been some spectacular plays as well. De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome in particular are really shining at that position for the Tar Heels.
All right, let's go to the trenches because in my judgment, my opinion, the 3 losses have come because of being beat in the trenches.
Yep.
O-line.
You know, I'm going to be an easier grader, I'm sure, than some others would be. I'm going to give them a B-, but this is a group that has been a problem for Carolina earlier in the season, but I also think it's a group that's coming together some. And that's an area on the offensive line where injuries have hurt. You know, the Tar Heels lost their senior center in Nick Polino. They lost Charlie Heck, their senior left tackle, for the Appalachian State game. Charlie has come back, and there's been a big difference there. And they're just playing some younger guys at the other 3 positions as well. In fact, they went into the Appalachian State game with, I believe, Dr. T, it was 2 sophomores or 3 sophomores and 2 redshirt freshmen were the 5 starters. And so that's a very young group. They're starting to show some cohesion. I think they've been a big reason why the Heels have played better offensively these last 2 games.
D-line.
D-line. Carolina, it's an odd Carolina doesn't necessarily have a ton of guys with their hands on the ground on the defensive line because of the way they play defense, but they've got two very good ones in Aaron Crawford and Jason Strobridge. I'm going to give them an A-minus because those two guys, when they're healthy, and Strobridge has battled some injuries, but when they're healthy, they are beasts up front.
Linebackers.
What a surprise the linebacking group has been. I think that was the biggest question mark personnel-wise coming into the season. And remember, you're starting a guy, Jeremiah Gimmel, who had never started before, and Chaz Surratt, who was a quarterback last year. And those guys have been terrific. There were some misses early in the season. I think they're getting better and better. I'll go a solid B with that linebacker core for sure.
You mentioned misses. You mean missed tackles?
Missed tackles, missed assignments. Just some things that come with experience, with not playing that position in live action at this level a lot. But I think you've seen that really improve as time has gone along. Those two guys have the physical talent to go. They can really run. They're good tacklers. And I think we were talking about it being natural. I think it's getting more natural for them to be on the field at that position right now.
Two groups in 1 minute. Defensive backs.
Defensive backs, I'm going a solid B+. That has been, they have had a ton of injuries there, but I think that they have really done a nice job plugging in younger players. They've played a little safe at times due to the youth in that secondary, but I think they're a group that continues to get better, and they'll continue to have to get better because they are so young back there. People are going to try and pick on them.
Special teams.
Yeah, I'm going to go B- there. The Tar Heels have been okay. I think they'd rather cover. They need to cover kicks a little better. They need to return game to be a little bit better. The kicking points and extra or field goals, extra points have been okay. So I'll go B- there. But I think that's an area Mac Brown would really like to improve in.
All right. So we know that you're going to be calling six more football games, maybe seven.
Let's hope it's let's go on to 8 or 9. We could go ACC championship game, bowl game. Let's go on to the playoffs. But I do think Carolina, bowl game is a reasonable expectation for this year's team and one that they want to try to achieve.
That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Jones Angel. Thanks also to engineer Michael Cohen. As always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.